This week's parsha is Parshat Bahar. The Haftorah is from Sefer Yirmiyahu, chapter 32. I most probably say this about every Haftorah. This is a magnificent, magnificent Haftorah. Its text, there's so much meaning, so much power in this Haftorah. And every time I get to it, I just have this feeling I find something new. The Haftorah is in chapter 32 of Yirmiyahu, and it begins. Our Haftorah begins with pasuk vav, pasuk 6 of the Haftorah. I'm going to give you just a little bit background. What did it say before? I'll read the few psukim before so that you get the picture. And over here, what's extremely important is to have a sense of what is happening at that moment, because it's dramatic, it's powerful. At the beginning of chapter 32 says that the Hadavar Asher Hayal Yirmiyahu Mi'et Hashem, the words that came to Yirmiyahu from God in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda. This was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. It means that we are now 1 year before the Churban. The destruction of the Beth HaMikdash is going to take place in the course of the coming year. The city is already under siege. Va'oz, Chel Melech Babel, then the host, the armies of the king of Babel, Tzorim al Yerushalayim, besieged the city. And where was Yirmiyahu as the siege was taking place? He was kalu b'chatzar ha-matara. He was imprisoned in a place called Chatzar ha-matara, which was in the house of the king of Yehuda. He was a prisoner. Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, had imprisoned him, saying, "Madu atan nivah le'mor, why do you prophesy, saying, why are you prophesying that God is going to give this city into the hands of the king of Babel and he will capture her?" The king of Yehuda is not going to be able to flee from the hands of the Kazdim, because the city will be given into the hands of the king of Babel, and Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, is going to speak mouth to mouth, face to face. He's going to see the king of Babel. King of Yehuda will stand as a captive before the king of Babel, and Tzidkiyahu will be taken to Babel, and there he will be until I remember him, says God. You'll wage war. You're going to fight with the Kazdim, lo tatzlichu, you will not succeed. The picture that you have to have in your mind is a city under siege. For that matter, we're going to have an even further description of the batteries and the battering rams of the forces of Babel are already banging against the gates and the walls of Yerushalayim. You hear the enemy coming closer. Yirmiyahu knows that it's all over. There's no way that they're going to succeed in repelling the forces of Babel. We're talking about one of the darkest moments in Jewish history. Can it be darker? For Yirmiyahu, the darkest moment of his life. And there he is. He's in prison. Now begins the Haftorah. Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said, "Hayo dvar Hashem elai le'mor." In prison, the word of God came to me, so saying, "Hinei Hanamel ben Shalom dodecha ba elecha le'mor." Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, who is your uncle. It means, therefore, that Hanamel is ben dodo, his cousin, son of his uncle. He's going to come to you saying, "Kinei lecha et sadi asher ba'anatot, purchase my field that is in Anatot. Ki lecha mishpat ha'geula liknot, because the law of redemption of the field, that to buy it, that's yours. Let's get the story out there. And of course, we're going to have to see the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. Very fascinating. In the Sedra, there's a story that says that if a man sells, the halacha, that if a man sells a field that belongs to the family or a house that belongs to the family, then another member of the family should attempt to redeem it and buy it back so that it should remain as part of the family inheritance. One member of the family becomes poor. He's in desperate need of funds. So he sells a house, he sells a piece of land. So there's a mitzvah on other members of the family who are capable of doing so to buy it back so that it remains within the family. Hananel, who is the cousin of Yirmiyahu, he wants to sell his field in Anatot. God tells him, Hananel is going to come to you to tell you, buy the field that is in Anatot, because you have Mishpat HaGeulah. The law of redemption falls upon you, therefore you should buy it. And that's the halacha that appears in the Sedra. Very next pasuk it says, "Vayavo Eli Hananel ben Dodi, Hananel my cousin came to me, Kidvar Hashem, as it was the word of God, El Chatzar Hamatara, into the prison. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Kneino et Sadi Asher ba'Anatot, please buy my field that is in Anatot, Asher be'Eretz Binyamin, which is in the land of Binyamin, Ki l'chom mishpat ha'Yerusha, because you have the law of inheritance, and therefore the l'chom ha'Gula, there is a responsibility upon you to redeem this land." Kenela, buy it. Baidan, I knew Kidvar Hashem, that this is the word of God. Anatot is where Yirmiyahu came from. Anatot is the Eretz Binyamin, in the land of Binyamin. Anatot is not far from the Ve Yaakov of today. There's an Arab village called Anta. It was a city that the Kohanim and Levim lived there. A village, a town. This is the strangest request, the strangest offer for sale. What is Hananel selling? What's he selling? The forces of Nebuchadnezzar are already battering against the walls of Yerushalayim. Anatot has already been captured by the enemy. It's enemy territory. That's quite a chutzpah. Go, I want to sell you a piece of land in Anatot. It's an enemy territory. It most probably has absolutely no value to anybody in the world. I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. No, this is worse than the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know, it's downtown... downtown Beirut, I don't know, downtown Berlin in April of 45. We're talking about enemy territory now. All right. So he tells him that that Hananel is going to come and he's going to ask you to buy the field. So you should know. Buy the field. Okay? Yirmiyahu says, I bought the field. I purchased it from Hananel ben Dodi, Hananel, my cousin. Asher ba'Anatot, who is in Anatot. Ve'eshkalalo et ha'kesef, and I weighed out carefully the silver. Shiv'ash shkalim ve'asara ha'kesef, 7 shekels of silver of a particular weight known and in use at the time, and 10 pieces of silver. And I wrote it in a document. A document was written in order to prove that the sale had taken place. And I signed on it. And we also had witnesses who watched the entire transaction take place. The purchase of the field is being done with the money. The document is title and deed that will remain as proof that Yirmiyahu bought the field. Ve'eshkol ha'kesef v'maznayim, and he repeats, I weighed the silver on ma'aznayim, on the scales. carefully weighed and measured.
Yes. He was buying it from his cousin.
Instead of his cousin having to sell it to somebody else, and then the responsibility would fall upon Yirmiyahu or other members of the family to attempt to buy it back, he gives him the opportunity of buying it. We have another example of this. Ruth. Ruth, Boaz buys the fields that belong to the family of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, because the other fellow did not want to, and therefore he is the one who redeems the fields. I took the document of the sale, et hachatum, and with its signatures, hamitzvah v'hachukim v'et hagalui. There were different parts to the document called mitzvah, chukim, and galui. There was a revealed part of the document, there was a concealed part of the document. In ancient days, there was a custom to write the document in full and then write a synopsis of the document. Everything that was necessary was done correctly, and I gave this document of sale, El Boror Ben Nedio Ben Machseya Le'enei Hananel Dodi, I gave the book to the document, to Boror Ben Nedio Ben Machseya. Boror Ben Nedio is, this is the first time he is mentioned in Tanakh, he is the secretary of Yirmiyahu. He's going to be with Yirmiyahu for years, close to him. He'll do everything that Yirmiyahu needs. He gave it to Boror. In the eyes of Hanamel Dodi, Ulaynei Ha'edim, in the eyes of Hanamel, and here it says Dodi, my uncle, but it's not really uncle, it's cousin. And there are places in Tanakh where they are interchangeable.
Like Avraham and Lot.
Like Avraham and Lot. Similar usage is down there. At times he's called his brother. Lot is called the brother of Avraham, and at times Ben Achiv, the son of my brother. Ula einei ha'edim, and in the eyes of the witnesses, hakotvim b'sefer hamikne, I gave it to Boror Ben Nedio, in the presence of Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who wrote and signed in the document of title and deed, la einei kol ha'yehudim ayoshim b'chatzar ha'matara, in the eyes of all of the Jews who were sitting in the chatzar ha'matara. The scene, obviously, is an eerie one. Just imagine people in prison. This is at a time already that there is very little food left in Yerushalayim. They may very well be emaciated, oizgeveiked, torn and tattered clothing. And there, in the prison, they watch a sale take place that seems to stagger everybody's imagination. It's something that is unreal. Who in their right mind would buy a field now in Anatot? And where is Yirmiyahu? Remember, he's in prison. He may never ever get out to see it. Anatot is in the hands of the Babylonians, and all of these strange figures are gathered there in the prison, and everybody's going about it as Yirmiyahu orchestrates it. This is very serious business. They write, they sign, they testify, they weigh, they measure everything that should be done. This is a real, real thing, and it's the most unreal scene. The sale is unreal. Everything is unreal. And I commanded Baruch in their eyes, saying, so says the God of hosts, the God of Israel, take these books, take these documents, sefer hamikne hazeh ve'et hachatum ve'et sefer hagalui hazeh unetaten b'chli cheres leman yamdu yamim ratan, take all of these documents, put them in an earthenware jar in order that they should remain for many days. We're going to have to preserve it, and we know that this is the way they preserved documents. Dead Sea Scrolls, they were put into all sorts of earthenware jars. Baruch, take good care of this document. We're going to need it. So Amar Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, because so says the God of Oz, the God of Israel. O Yikanu Batim V'Sadot Ukramim Ba'aretz Hazot. They will yet buy fields and vineyards in this land. That's obviously the whole message of the sale. It seems as though it's all over. Yerushalayim is going to fall. Israel is going to go into exile. The entire 800-year experiment of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, it's all over. Now, God says there will still come a time that people are going to buy fields and vineyards will be bought in this land. All right. There is something that I hadn't noticed before, but I noticed it now as a result of the fact that we had as a guest lecture 2 weeks ago, Rabbi Rakefet. So Rabbi Rakefet said a word from the Gered Ebbe. Gered Ebbe, when asked about the meaning of the Holocaust, said that by Moshe, Torah tells us that he took the Luchot, he took the tablets, Vashabrem, and I broke them, Le'inechem, before your eyes. Why does it have to say, I broke them before your eyes? Why couldn't it have simply said, I broke them? So he said that you see an act taking place. That's what you see before your very eyes. But there's another level, beyond that which can be seen by the eyes. There are things that we cannot fully understand, cannot fully comprehend. With your eyes you see something. You may not understand what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing when he breaks the Luchot, but there will yet come a day when you will be able to go beyond the surface and you will understand what's going on behind it all. Not everything was understood at this particular moment. Do you know that the word in their eyes appears four times here in two psukim? It says, Yirmiyahu says, I took the Sefer HaMikneh to Baruch Ben Neriah. I gave it to Baruch Ben Neriah. Le'enei Hanamel Dodi, in the eyes, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle, my cousin, Ule'enei Ha'edim, and in the eyes of the witnesses, HaKotvim the Sefer HaMikneh, Le'enei Kol HaYehudim, in the eyes of all of the Jews who are there in the jail, Va'atzaved Baruch, and I commanded Baruch Le'enehem, in their eyes, so saying. Why does Yirmiyahu repeat the word Le'enehem in their presence before their very eyes? Why does he repeat it four times? You know what Yirmiyahu is telling them? You know what he's saying? You see something take place before your very eyes. What you see taking place before your very eyes makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It seems to be an exercise in the absurd, the ridiculous. Any minute, the city may fall into the hands of the Babylonians, we may die, we may be taken off into exile. And you are seriously going about the business of purchasing a field in Anatot. It's the absolute absurd. It's ridiculous. It's surrealistic. This is not the world of reality. There they are, shuffling around. I don't know why I have visions of Jean Valjean someplace in a dungeon deep below the Bastille. And there's one little candle on the table, and all of these shadowy figures are moving around, and everybody's serious. Yirmiyahu, does that weigh precisely 7 shekel and 10 pieces of silver? Yes. And it's weighed and it's measured and they sign. Everything is so serious. It's not the world of reality. Not the world of reality? Ah. So there's a reality, or an unreal world that you see before your very eyes. But you know what? Another pasuk in Tanakh. When Shmuel comes to the house of Yishai in order to anoint one of the sons of Yishai to be the new king, the one who will be the king over Israel. So as each son is brought before Shmuel, he thinks this is the one. But God tells him, no. Ha'odam yirela einayim, man sees with his eyes, v'helo kim yirela leilav, and God sees with the heart. Yirmiyahu is pointing out this whole strange scene that is being played out before your very eyes now. This is all before your eyes. But there is a deeper meaning beyond it. What seems to be so strange in your eyes right now, what seems to be an absurdity, an absolute escape from reality, you know, the day will come when you will be able to see it and you will see this is the reality. This is the reality. I hadn't noticed the four times the word le'eneim is used, all taking place before their eyes. Unreal. Nah. Just like Klal Yisrael didn't understand Moshe's shattering the Luchot, and I did it before their eyes, in order to point out that you don't understand it now, but there will come a day that you will understand it. You don't understand what's taking place here in the jail with Yirmiyahu now, but you will understand it at some later date. Now, if you want to know the real meaning of what's taking place here, I think this may be one of the unusual examples where the parasha may very well be explaining the Haftarah. I'm going to take a number of psukim in the parasha. A number of fascinating things, and I'm going to learn to with you according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Reb Chaim Ben Et Atar, buried on Har HaZeisim, great Mekubal of 200-300 years ago, one of the great Pehushim of Chumash. I'm going to learn a number of psukim in the parasha. And you know what? All of a sudden, the parasha is going to light up for us what's taking place here in the Sedra. In the parasha. And I haven't seen this mentioned by others, but it's clear that this is... it's amazing. This must be the real relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. If you look into Parashat Bahar, Perek 25 into the Sedra, take a look at Perek 25, Pasuk Memtet, Memchet and Memtet, 48 and 49. You'll see it, and immediately your eyes are going to light up. Chapter 25. Do you see Pasuk Memtet?
Yes.
We're talking about a man who has sold his field. Who's going to come and redeem it? O Dodo. O Ben Dodo Yigalenu. His uncle or his cousin is going to come redeem it. O Misha'er Bisaro, or another member of the family, Mimishpachto Yigalenu, from the family, will redeem it. O Hisiga Yado, or maybe he will be able to finally afford it himself, Vinigol, and it will be redeemed. Okay, so obviously there's a relationship in the same halacha that the Torah is talking about is being played out for us in the Haftarah. An uncle or the son of an uncle, a cousin comes to redeem the field. The Or HaChaim's approach to this whole parsha of land or a house that is sold, I'm going to take a number of selections from the Or HaChaim, and I'm going to show you how he reads all of this, how he understands it. All right. If we begin in chapter 25, Pasuk Chavtet. 25, the same parsha, Pasuk 29. The ish ki yimkor beit moshav ir choma. Man is going to sell a house in a walled city. V'haytar gu'ulato atom shnat mimkaro. One can redeem it until the end of 1 year from the sale. Yamim tihiya gu'ulato. A year. A year is the time that he has to sell it. What is it that is being sold here? And the truth is, we can go back even I go back another few psukim. Let's go back to Pasuk 23 in this sentence. Just another few psukim earlier. The land shall never be sold, cannot be sold forever. There is no absolute sale of land forever. Land always comes back to the family in the year of Yovel. Ki li ha'aretz, God says, the land is mine. Ki geidim v'toshavim ateni nadi, you, living in the land, you are dwellers here, but the land is mine. Uvechol eretz achuzatchem, and in all of the land of your inheritance, ge'ulat titnu la'aretz, there shall be redemption. You're able to be go'el, redeem the land. What's going to be? Ki yomu chachicha, when your brother is going to become impoverished, he's going to sell his inheritance. The redeemer who is closest to him shall come to Galat min Karachiv, and he shall redeem that which the brother sold. Another member of the family should come and redeem it. A person who doesn't have a member of the family who can redeem it. So then he has another option. If he will be able to achieve it himself, he finally makes the money. And he finds enough money in order to redeem the field, buy it back from the one to whom he purchased it. And then the Chishavich name in Karo, he has to calculate. He sold it a number of years ago. He sold it for such and such price. The other fellow had it for a few years. You pay back the difference between the two. The Heshivet HaOdef, he gives him the extra money. La'ish Hashem Achalo V'shav La'achuzato. All right. The Arachayim says, Ish ki lo yihye lo goel, a man who does not have somebody to redeem him. Ein ish ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's happening over here? The Jewish people have lost the right to their land and they've gone out into exile and there is no one to redeem them. So he says, Ein ish ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is ish? God is ish. Dichsiv, because it says Hashem ish milchama, God is the man of war. Kishelo yihyelo goel, there is nobody to redeem his people. Ki ein ish somalei, because nobody's paying attention to his word. The ein machazik biyad umay yisraelit lahashivai laviyan, there is nobody who can take hold of the Jewish people in order to bring them back to their father in heaven. Al toma, don't say, Kichas v'sholem avat tikva, don't think that all hope is lost for the Jewish people. Ella, v'hisiga yado. The Jewish people will be able to afford, the time will come at which they will be able to redeem the land again. How will they do it? Ki hayisudin v'hagolos, the suffering and the exile, that's the payment. That's the payment. Tikun ha'uma, they are that which make the nation into a greater people, la'achshira, and to prepare her. And that's what the pasuk means when it says v'hisiga yado. Jews are in exile, but they suffered, and because of that suffering, they become worthy of returning to Eretz Yisrael. So then he says, further on he says, v'imlo matzo yado. Torah says, what happens if man does not find the money with which to redeem the field? He doesn't find the money. Then, if I don't find the money to buy it back, so the one who's taken it, the one who's purchased it, keeps it until Yovel, but in Yovel, it returns. It goes back to the family. Says the Arachayim, this is one of the famous pieces, or should be one of the famous pieces of the Arachayim. Perish. You know what this means? In Yideh HaAdon, if the master of the world will see ki en koach ba'om lizbol chavolim od, V'rabu chavoteyem l'mala rosh. If the master of the world is going to see that Klal Yisrael cannot suffer anymore, and their sins are great, and they have no way of returning, v'op av them korach ha-sevel, they can no longer suffer. Then v'hayom im karo atshnat ha-yovel. Then Eretz Yisrael will be sold off, it will be in the hands of somebody else until Shnat HaYovel. Shnat HaYovel means until the time for redemption comes. Shehuzman HaMugbal LeGeulah, the time set aside for redemption, V'oz, when that time comes, it makes no difference whether Jews are worthy or unworthy, the land will go out of the hands of those who have it, and it will return to the hands of Klal Yisrael. And here, listen to the words of the Arachayim. Ki keitz hagalut yeshno, because the end of the exile will be afilu yiyu Yisrael reshoyim gimurim chas v'shalom, even if the Jewish people are going to be absolutely and totally wicked. There's an end. And this is a clear statement, and the Arachayim says it a number of other times. It does not depend on our being worthy for Geula. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that this entire parsha that's talking about land that has been sold and then redeemed back again, the Orach Chaim is going to learn the whole parsha on a completely different level. Before your very eyes, you know what you see? What are indeed halachot of Torah? Man sells a house, man sells a piece of land. There are responsibilities on members of the family to attempt to buy it back. Those are all of the laws that we see before our very eyes. But beyond that, the Orach Chaim says it's talking about the relationship between God, the Jewish people, and Eretz Yisrael. That there will be a time that we will become impoverished, and we're going to lose our rights to the land. We're going to have options. The options are going to be either because of our own effort, because we will turn to God again, we are going to regain entry into the land. Or in the event that we cannot, lo hisiga yado, we don't succeed, the very suffering in and of itself is going to be reason that time comes, God returns the land. Yovel, it goes back to Klal Yisrael. Then he goes on. This is said not only by him, but the Daz Zaken v'Balei Tosfos. And what happens if I can't redeem it myself? So who else can do it? Oh, Dodo. Oh, Ben Dodo. Dodo comes from the word Yadid, friend, or Ani Le Dodi V'Dodi Li, my beloved. Who is the beloved of the Jewish people? That's God. So if they can't redeem it, you know who's going to redeem it? Dodo, God, the beloved one. Or Ben Dodo, who is the son of the beloved one? Mashiach. Ben Dodo. Ben Dodo, read it a little different, and it's Ben David. Ben David. So what I want to point out is, and I'll give another few examples, we see in the Sedra, we see a parsha that is completely legalistic in nature. A lawyer, Thomas Kogel, would understand very clearly all of the rights and the responsibilities, land, title, mashkanta, mashlema, all sorts of things, mas shevach, mas rechush. I mean, it's all very legalistic. There it is. But it is also understood on a completely different level. And that completely different level, the higher level, is a relationship between God, Klal Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael. We see the same thing taking place in the Haftarah. A sale, dodo, ben dodo. The whole sale, unreal. No, it's not unreal. It's telling us a great deal more than we may see in the Psukim. What does Yirmiyahu say at the end? Ki ko amar Hashem, because so says God, there will yet be fields and how vineyards and houses that are going to be purchased in this land. So of course, on one level, Yirmiyahu is saying, even at the moment of greatest darkness, Klal Yisrael is falling. Yerushalayim is surrounded. Battering rams are pushing against the walls of the city. The city is about to fall. Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. You're going to be dispersed into exile. Even at the moment of greatest darkness, the Jew is able to see that there will be yet another day. The light that comes beyond. So he says, sure, I'm buying this piece of land because there will be another day and we will buy homes and vineyards in this land. But it goes even more than merely buying homes and vineyards in this land. There's going to be the renewal of a relationship between Am Yisrael, Dodo, Ben Dodo, Gulati Ela Aretz. It's going to be more than just the purchase of land. Purchase of land is what we see on the surface before our very eyes. But it means the renewal of a bond, the renewal of a relationship, a new kind of treaty, or a bit of covenant that is going to be entered into between God and the Jewish people. So first of all, important is the Aruch Chaim in the Seder who says, that pasuk that tells us that even if you will not be able to afford to buy it back, the end, you're going to get the land back. For which he says that even if Klal Yisrael achas v'sholem rishoyim gemudim, absolutely evil and wicked, they're going to get back the land. This is really a postscript to what we talked about a few weeks ago, the machloket between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehoshua. Is there geula without tshuva or not? The Aruch Chaim comes down squarely with Rebbe Yehoshua. Even if they are rishoyim gemurim, chas v'shalom, God returns Klal Yisrael to the land. Then, further on, the pasuk says, pasuk 29, a man who's going to sell Beit Moshav, a house in an ir choma, in a walled city. In the parsha, Perek Chaf Hei, pasuk 29. You should be able to figure this out now. A man, who's Ish? The Aruch Chaim said, a man is God. What house does God have in a walled city? The Bet HaMikdash. The Ish. The man, God, who is going to sell Beit Moshav, the house in which he dwells, in an ir choma, in a walled city. V'haytar ge'ulato atom shnat mim karo, yamim tihiyer ge'ulato. There will be a redemption for that too. And he says, Beit Bayit Shabo Moshav Elokim Zeh Bet HaMikdash, an ir choma, Zeh Yerushalayim. As it says, Yerushalayim Harim Zavilav. And if you're going to ask, well, why did God do it? Why did he destroy the Bet HaMikdash? So he says, V'haytar ge'ulato. Through that will ultimately come a redemption. There's a process that Klal Yisrael has to go through. And part of that process is the suffering and the destruction of the Bet HaMikdash. And then yesh tikva v'shavu vanim legvulam, that they will return to their boundaries to Eretz Yisrael. He goes through the whole parasha. The whole parasha is the relationship, God, land, and the Jewish people, and the necessity for them going into exile. So we have call it similar, very similar, Sedra and Haftarah. Something that we see or read before our very eyes, very legalistic, but beyond it there is a whole relationship between God and his people. I'll just read a few selections from the Dad Zekeinim Balei HaTosfot, and with that we'll continue on with the Haftarah. The Dad Zekeinim Balei HaTosfot says on Pasuk 47, V'chitasig Yad Ger V'toshav Imach, the Ger and the Toshav will have the ability to purchase. Ger is Malchut Madai, the kingdom of Madai, the Persians. Tosav, the ones who lived in the land and settled in the land, Zu Malchut Yavan, Greece. Greece made inroads into Eretz Yisrael that no other people did. They were here. They brought their culture to Eretz Yisrael. Ola Eker Mishpachad Ger, Pasuk 47, Le'eke Mishpachad Geri says that's the Golos in which we find ourselves, Golos Edom, Rome. The one that wants to be okay to uproot Klal Yisrael completely. Acharei Nimkar, Pasuk 48 says, after the land will be sold, Ge'ulati Yelo, it will have redemption. Says the Dazakeni Balei Tosot, Shenem, as it says, Ki Yom Nakom, believe me, there will be a day of revenge in my heart, Ushnat Ge'ulati. And the time for my redemption comes. Echad may echav yigolanu. Do you know who's going to redeem the Jewish people? One of his brothers, or the one who is his brother, the one who is his best friend. Echad may echav yigolanu. The Hainu Hakadosh Baruch Hu shehu echad. He is one. The achiv, and he is the brother, the best friend of Klal Yisrael. Leman. Achai v'rei'ai adabrono shalom bach leman beit Hashem Elokeinu avaksha tov lach leman achai v'rei'ai. My brothers and my friends. Who are my brothers and friends? God says, Klal Yisrael, the brothers and friends. O Dodo, who else can redeem it? The uncles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenema Zedodi v'zerei'i in Shir HaShirim, the beloved. O Ben Dodo, Zemelech HaMashiach Shenema bo, about Melech HaMashiach, it says, B'ni ata, you are my son and my beloved. O Hisiga Yado, in Pasuk 49 it says, either God will redeem them, or Mashiach will redeem them, or somebody else in the family. O Hisiga Yado, O Hisiga Yado is the last possibility. The last possibility is that we will rise to the spiritual heights which will grant us return. May not ever come to that. And then they come back. So that the whole parasha is really based on one fundamental principle. There's a halachic principle in Parashat Bahar, and that halachic principle underlies everything that comes in Jewish history afterwards. And that was the pasuk that we began with, where the pasuk said, "V'ha'aretz lo timacher litzmitut." The land cannot be sold forever. There's no such thing as selling a piece of land forever. Ki li ha'aretz, God says, because the land is mine. On the simple halachic level, it means I'm given a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael as my inheritance. I cannot sell it forever. I cannot make a sale to somebody else and tell him that it's his forever. Because I only have certain rights to it. And I don't have the right to sell the land forever. It's not mine. Ki lihadet, the land belongs to God. Ki geidim v'toshavim atemim adi, you are tenants in my land. But on its higher level, what it means is, the land will not be given to anybody forever. The land has to come back to me, and through me to Klal Yisrael. Ki lihadet, because it's my land. That's what's happening over here. It's more than what may appear at first glance. At first glance, it seems clear Yirmiyahu is being told to buy a piece of land as an indication of encouragement to the Jewish people. It's your darkest moment now. You think it's all over? No. This is a temporary lapse. You will still live to see a time when houses and vineyards will be bought in this land. But it's as the land is falling into the hands of the Babylonians, you see something taking place before your eyes. You think that's reality. That's not the reality. That's not the reality at all. It's temporary. For today, it's falling into the hands. But it can't be theirs. Ki li haaretz, the land is mine. It will never be given to anybody else forever. So, the relationship between the Seder and the Haftarah is fascinating. Now comes a part of the Haftarah We may have time to deal with some of the problems, but it's such a magnificent, magnificent prayer of Yirmiyahu. Va'et palel el Hashem, back to the Haftarah. Va'et palel el Hashem, and I prayed to God. Acharei titi et sefer hamikna el baruch ben neri olemar. I prayed to God after I gave the document of sale to Baruch ben Neri, so saying. There's going to be a magnificent prayer of Yirmiyahu. The Haftarah is not going to include God's response. God's response is magnificent. His prayer is an absolutely unusual one. But sometimes there are things that exist, ideas that are expressed in a word, and we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware. There's one word here that is, I would say, revolutionary, an act of tremendous courage. Courage to the point of defiance. In this tefillah, it's not a simple tefillah, not a simple prayer. Yirmiyahu defies God. He defies him. How do I know that Yirmiyahu defies God? In all of Tanakh, there are only three places in all of Tanakh where God says to somebody, "Al titpalel ba'ad ha'am hazeh." Do not pray for this people. Only three times in all of Tanakh. And all three are God speaking to Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu chapter 7, Pasuk 16, that's the first place where God tells Yirmiyahu, chapter 7, Pasuk 16, he says to him, "V'ato and you, Al tit palel ba'ad ha'am hazeh, do not pray for this people. Val tisa ba'adam rina utfilah, do not raise your voice in song and prayer. Val tivgedi, don't talk to me about them. Ki eineni shomea utach, I'm not listening to you. Ha'ein charoeh, don't you see ma'hem ha'osim, what they're doing? Ba'are Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim, in the cities of Yehuda, and in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim." Chapter 11, Pasuk 14. Va'ata al titpalel ba'ad ha'am hazeh, va'al tisa ba'dam rina utvila, ki eineni shomea. I'm not listening. Ve'et taram elai, when they called to me ba'ad ra'atam, because of their evil. That's chapter 11, Pasuk 14. The third time is in chapter 14, Pasuk 11. 14:11, Vayomer Hashem Elai, Al titpalel ba'ad ha'am hazeh letova. Do not pray for this people letova. When you understand that Yirmiyahu is the only Navi who's been told not to pray, and three times he's been told not to pray, when he says the word for et palel, do you know what that word means? God, I defy you. You tell me no, don't pray. Sorry, I will pray. One word. The word now tells us what the substance of this entire tefillah is going to be. It may very well be that that's why he uses the word v'et palel. There are other words that are used. What happens when Moshe prays to the Jewish people after the sin of the Egel? Vayichal Moshe et bnei Hashem alukav. Moshe prayed. Different word is used. When Moshe Rabbeinu begs God to go into Eretz Yisrael, so what word does he use over there? Bo et chanan el Hashem. Mitchanein, I asked for mercy, pity, compassion, favor. Bo et palel comes, tefillah comes from the word pilel. Pilel also means judgment. I want an accounting, God. I want to know why this is happening. Et palel does not necessarily mean that this is going to be the subservient servant of God who is standing before him meekly and humbly. It may very well be one who stands before God and makes demands of him. God Almighty, what are you doing? For et palel, defiance. You tell me don't pray? Sorry. Et palel. For et palel al Hashem, and I pray to God, achareti tiyat sefer hamiknel borel danneri yolemar. It's very important. Yirmiyahu wants to cry out to God. He wants to tell God, God Almighty, why are you doing this? People are dying in the streets of Yerushalayim. City is being given into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar or Russia. What are you doing it for? But you know what? No. God told him to buy the field. The first thing he does is, as a faithful servant, he buys the field. He pays for it well. All of the documents are written. Now that it's all over, okay, God, I've done what you wanted me to do. Okay, now I'm ready. Now we're going to talk. The Navi will not pray or confront God before he has done that which he is commanded to do. Afterwards, all right. You wanted me to do it? I went through it. Not only that, perfect. It'll stand up in any court of law. Can you imagine the day when Yirmiyahu is going to go claim the field in Anatot? Some Arab most probably will be shaken out of his wits as Yirmiyahu comes with this document and says, this piece of land on the West Bank belongs to me. I bought it fair and square. All right, Yirmiyahu will obviously follow in the footsteps of, as the Medrash says, the famous Medrash that tells us that there are three pieces of land in Eretz Yisrael that the nations of the world can have absolutely no complaint to us because it's clear in Tanakh that they were bought. The three places that there can be no complaint about is the Temple Mount that David bought from Aravna HaYavuzi, Chevron that the Moras HaMachpelah that Avram bought from Bnei Chait, and Shechem that Yaakov bought from the it says Vayikan et Chelkat HaSadeh Bornov. Those are the three places that we have absolute title and deed. The whole world says yes, that's yours. Yeah, all right. But I believe the Emunah Shleim, of course, at the moment will come. I can see Yirmiyahu coming and claiming this piece of land. All right, he prays. He confronts God. Aho Hashem Elokim, Hinei Ata Asita Et Hashamayim Ve Et Haaretz V'Chol Chachacha Gadol Uvizroacha Hanetuya. You are the one who made the heavens and the earth with your great strength and with the outstretched arm. Lo Yipalei Mimcha Kol Davar. There is nothing that is concealed from before you. There is nothing that is impossible. The word Yipalei means a lot of things, but it means to be concealed, covered, impossible. Nothing is too wondrous from you. Oseh chesed la'alafim, you are the one who does kindness for thousands of generations. U'mishalem avon avot el cheg b'neim achdeim, you also bring punishment for the sins of the fathers unto the children, of course, in the event that the children walk in the footsteps of their fathers. Hakel ha'gadol ha'gibar, the God who is great and strong. Hashem tzvakot shemo, the God of hosts, is his name. One of the most unusual things about this tefillah, this prayer, is not only what he does say, but what he doesn't say. What he doesn't say. What doesn't he say? So this is the famous Gemara in Masechet Yuma. Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah, when he prays, he says, Hokel ha-gadol ha-gibor ve-ha-nora. He does not say nora. Boy, Yirmiyahu did not say nora. He did not describe God as fearsome. Ata Daniel, after him, the Gemara says, came Daniel. And Daniel did not describe God as gibor. Until Anshe Knesset HaGadola came, the men of the great assembly came, and Hecheziru HaTorah LiYoshna, they returned the crown to its original glory. And the Gemara over there asks, why was their name called Lama Nitru Shimon? Gemara in Yuma Samach Tet Amid Bet. Why were they called Anshe Knesset Agdola? Because Hechaziru Atora LeYoshna, they brought the crown back to its original glory. Moshe referred to God as Hakel Agdola LaGibor VaNora. Yirmiyahu comes and deletes Nora. Why does he delete Nora? And why does Daniel, who comes after him, why does he delete Gibor? Because each one of them, as the Gemara says, Yirmiyahu took a look around and he saw death and destruction before him. He saw Yerushalayim falling into the hands of the enemy. Ayei Nora Otav, where is the awesomeness of God? Where's the fear of God? He didn't see it, he didn't say it. Daniel sees Jews in exile. Ayei Givur Otav, where is the might of God? So he didn't say. Gibor. Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, they composed the Shmon Esrei and they said, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. Why did they say, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora? So they said, do you know what the fearsomeness of God is? The fearsomeness of God is that one little sheptala, one sheep, is able to survive amongst the 70 wolves, proverbial wolves, who want to destroy them. The very survival of Klal Yisrael is Nora, the greatest manifestation of God's fearsomeness in the world. And then Anshei Knesset HaGdola said Gibor, they called God mighty, because Daniel could not call him mighty, because he said, take a look at this, nations of the world enslave your children, where is their might? Where is your might, God? Anshei Knesset HaGdola said that God is able to control himself. What is Ezel Gibor? HaKovesh at Yitzhak, the one God is able to control himself and not destroy the evil of the world. Therein lies the Gvur of God. The final piece of the Gemara, most fascinating, the Gemara says, who gave Yirmiyahu and Daniel the right to delete something which was said by Moshe Rabbeinu? If Moshe Rabbeinu referred to God as Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora, how does Yirmiyahu say Hakel HaGadol HaGibor? What do you mean? God is Nora. How did Daniel leave out the word Gibor? So the Gemara answers, because they knew that God is honest. Therefore, lo chizvu bo, they didn't lie to him. Yirmiyahu knows what he feels at the time. What is he going to do? He feels terribly the suffering of the Jewish people. He sees the desecration of God's name, his house going up in flames, Klal Yisrael exiled, a land in destruction. So what could he say? He sees the awesomeness of God, where one sees on the rail lines to Auschwitz, one sees God as Nora. Of course not. So what am I? Yirmiyahu says, well, I'm going to lie. I'm going to say Nora at a moment that I don't feel it. God knows that I don't feel it, and I'm therefore not going to say it. God wants truth. Don't tell me that you see God in death and destruction and in suffering. I don't see it. I don't see his business. I don't see him as Nora. Daniel sees Jews suffering out in the Golan. He does not see the might of God. Doesn't see it. If I don't see it, I'm not going to say, yeah, God, you are Gibor. Doesn't mean that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the great assembly, were greater than Yirmiyahu and greater than Daniel. The men of the great assembly who returned the crown to its original glory lived in a different era. The men of the great assembly lived at the time of Shivat Zion, Jews returning to Eretz Yisrael, and they're buying land, and they're building the Beit HaMikdash, and rebuilding Yerushalayim. From Yirmiyahu through Daniel, through Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, we're talking about the 70 years of Golus Babel. Yirmiyahu is the Navi, the prophet of Churban, the prophet of the destruction. But remember also, in this Haftorah, he is also the prophet of consolation, of Geula, of redemption. But what does he see before his very eyes? Before his very eyes, he sees death and destruction. That is not a manifestation of God as Nora. Yirmiyahu believes his own prophecy. He just now said in the name of God that they're going to buy houses and vineyards someday. Yeah, but what's happening right now? What's happening right now is not a demonstration of God as Noda. Therefore, I can't say it. Can't say it. Daniel can't say that God is Gibor. Anshe Knesset HaGadol are living in a completely different moment in history. Things are changing now for Klal Yisrael. Jews are returning to Eretz Yisrael. The walls of Yerushalayim are going up again. The Beit HaMikdash is being rebuilt. In their perspective of history, they can see God as Gadol, Gibor, and Noda. In this Gemara, I always say, what is so unusual about our generation in history, and maybe the sense of confusion and the difficulty of dealing with the issues of our time, is that what Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Anshe Knesset HaGadola each experienced respectively in their own time, Jewish people of our day experienced in 3 years. We went from the absence of Gibor and Nora in 1945, and in 3 years, 3 years later, in other words, we're going through a period of the worst period of Jewish history. We lived in our time through the experiences of a Yirmiyahu, a Daniel, and an Anshe Knesset HaGadola. And we did it all in 3 years. So obviously, it takes a tremendous amount of courage and an understanding, or at least a bowing before God's will, to be able to say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Yirmiyahu was troubled with the Nora-ness of God. Daniel was troubled with the Gevura of God. Anshe Knesset HaGadol at least were able to see one aspect, the aspect of Shivat Zion. And we saw them all in such a brief period of time. So in the Tefillah of Yirmiyahu, if I said that when he says the word Ve'et Palel at the beginning, that's already a challenge and an act of defiance, we see the act of defiance, or at least, as the Gemara calls it, absolute honesty. Word that you wouldn't even notice it. It's missing. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar. He can't say anymore. Can't? Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. Let's go a little further. We have another few minutes. Let's go further in the tefillah. It's an amazing tefillah. Gedol Ha'etzah, the one whose counsel is great. Great plans, the Rav Ha'aliliyah, and God's deeds, His actions are immense. Asher Einecha Pekuchot, your eyes are open. Al Kol Darkei Bnei Adam, all the ways of man, Latet Leish Kedrachav, to give each man according to his ways, V'chifri Ma'alalav, and according to the fruit of his actions. There's reward and there's punishment. You made signs and miracles in the land of Egypt until this day. You've done all sorts of miraculous things in Israel and in men. You made a great name for yourself. You took your people Israel out of the land of Egypt. An outstretched arm of a God alone with great fierceness. But even when you gave them this land, that you swore to their fathers to give to them, you brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey. When they came, by Yirshuot, they inherited the land. They didn't listen to your voice in the Torah. They didn't go in your Torah. Everything you commanded them to do, lo, also they didn't do. And all of this happened to them. It's all happened to them. Everything that's happening today is all because of that. Now we come to the last two psukim. He seems at this point to have justified everything God's doing, right? He says, listen, you commanded them, You did such great things for them. You took them out of Egypt. You brought them here. You gave them this land. You commanded them. They didn't do what you commanded them. Everything happened to them, therefore. Hinei hasololot ba'u ha'ir lalachta. Behold, the batteries have come against the city to capture. V'ha'ir nitna b'yad ha'kazdim ha'nilchanim aleha. And the city is being given into the hands of the kazdim who are waging war against her. Mipnei ha'cherev v'harov v'hadaver. Because of the sword, the famine, the plague in the city. V'asher dibarta, whatever you said, ha'ya, it's all happening. V'hin choroen, you see it. V'ata amarta elai, Hashem elokim, and you said to me, God, O God, k'nei lecha hasadeh b'akotef, v'ha'ed edim, you told me, go by the field, and have witnesses testify. V'ha'ir nitna b'yad ha'kazdim, and the city is being given into the hands of the kazdim. This phrase is repeated twice. In the pasuk before it says, V'ha'ir nitna b'yad ha'kazdim, the city is being given into the hands of the kazdim, and here. So what does Yirmiyahu want? What does Yirmiyahu want? If he's asking for something, what's he asking for? What's he asking? He's asking that city has been given into the hand of the Kazdim, and you told me, go buy the field. Well, didn't God already tell him, and Yirmiyahu said it to the people in prison, Ki Koamar Hashem, because so says God, Od Yikanu Batim Besados Uchramin, there'll someday we will be buying houses and vineyards in this land. What does Yirmiyahu want from God? What's he asking for? All right. But he knows the side answer. As Yirmiyahu himself said, the answer is there. You're right. You're right. And today it seems as though it's the most foolish purchase of all. But this is an indication. I want to that someday we'll be buying them again. Yes? What kind of promise? In other words, Yirmiyahu may not be asking God for an explanation as much as we said. He's challenging and he's questioning God. For God simply to tell him, you know, someday it'll be okay. Yeah, someday the houses and vineyards will be bought, will be purchased in this land. Very vague kind of guarantee. When? By the way, who will be buying, does it say who will be buying land and vineyards? When? Who? Is it possible that Yirmiyahu is also troubled by, okay, you tell me to buy the land, I did it, and the city has been given into the hands of the Kazdim, and it'll happen again. We'll come back, and it'll happen all over again. I think it's not as much that he wants an explanation from God. You know what he's doing? He's challenging God. God, not enough. I want more. He wants to pin him down. Not necessarily to win, but he wants to pin him down. He wants to get out of God on behalf of the Jewish people as much as he can. This is not a prayer of beseeching God, it's challenging him. Our Haftorah ends with only one more sentence. Vayihidva Hashem el Yirmiyahu leimor. The word of God came to Yirmiyahu saying, Hinei ani Hashem elokei kol basar. I am the God of all flesh. Hamimeni pale kol davar. He's using the words of Yirmiyahu. Is there anything that's concealed from me? Is there anything that's impossible for me to do? I'll tell you what the entire response is. I'm just going to give you a little bit of God's response. The first part of the response is a number of psukim in which God lists the sins of the Jewish people, the terrible things that they did from the time that they came into Eretz Yisrael. And this city of Yerushalayim was a source of anger. I wanted to get rid of this city because of all of the evil that they did over here. Their idolatry. They turned their backs to me. They built all sorts of all sorts of altars to all sorts of gods. I had to. When you read through the psukim, you can see it in Yirmiyahu. When you read through the psukim, it seems as though God wants Yirmiyahu. I want you to understand what I'm doing, because Yirmiyahu really said it. Really is telling God, why are you doing this all? Why are you doing it all? God wants him to understand. And immediately after God finishes that, he says, "Va'ata." I'll just read a few more psukim. Therefore, so says the God of Israel, about this city that you're telling me is being given into the hands of the king of Babel by the sword, by hunger and by epidemic. You know what? Hinini mekabtsa mikol haratzot, I'm going to gather them in from all of the lands, ashiri dachtim sham, that I disperse them there. Ba'api ubechamati, with my anger, ubekesef gadol, v'ashivotim ala mokom, I'm going to bring them back to this place. Ba'ushatim lovetach, and they will live in security here. They will be a people to me, and I will be to them a God, and I will give them one heart and one way to serve me and fear me all of the days, so that it should be good for them, for the children afterwards. And I will make with them a treaty forever. I will never turn my back on them again. I will continue to do good to them. That my fear I will give in their hearts, levilti sur me'alai, that they should not ever turn away from me. Sasti aleim lehitivotam, and I will be full of joy to do good for them. Unitatim ba'aretz hazod be'emet, I will plant them in this land in truth, bechol libi uvechol nafshi, with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Did Yirmiyahu get something out of God? Did the challenge accomplish something that he was not accomplished otherwise? Oh yeah! Gets a guarantee. There will come a time it will never happen again. And God is going to make sure that it will never happen again. He's going to enter into a new covenant with the Jewish people. He's going to make sure that they will serve him forever and ever after. And with joy and with happiness, with his whole heart, b'chol libi u'b'chol nafshi, I'm going to do good for the Jewish people. It was worthwhile confronting God in order to get that kind of a commitment, that kind of a promise. So that I say the tefillah of Yirmiyahu is not tefillah in the sense in which we normally understand it, of begging and pleading. No, it is the true leader of a people ready to defy God and stand up before him on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And what he gets from God, on the two parts of that tefillah, one is God seeming to plead with Yirmiyahu, I want you to understand me. What's happening now? I have to do it. But the second is even more important. The absolute promise and the guarantee that never again, won't happen again, there's going to come a point in time the land will be returned to Klal Yisrael and they will remain. Unetatim ba'aretz hazot. This is from the end of God's response to Yirmiyahu. I will plant them in this land in truth, be'emet, b'chol libi u'b'chol nafshi, with my whole heart and with my whole soul.